This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is now 7:07 and it's evening edition with Kelvin Yee and Hezrul Ashraf. We are taking a look at graduate unemployment. Higher Education Minister Dato' Noraini Ahmad said that over 116,000 graduates are expected to be unemployed this year. This is a total sum of last year and this year's graduates.
Yeah, so this year alone, 75,000 out of 300,000 fresh grads are expected to struggle to find jobs within 6 months after graduation. Another 41,000 graduates have remained unemployed since last year.
So the minister has suggested that the main reason is the pandemic and the marketability of the graduates. The government has stepped in with some initiatives to help them out. This includes job matching processes in their My Future Jobs portal in collaboration with SOXO. They also have something called GREAT, or the Graduates Reference Hub for Employment and Training, which provides services like job matching, reskilling and upskilling programs, as well as grants for further education and career counselling.
And just yesterday, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin launched the KPT CAP, and this is a bit of a long one. Its full title is the Ministry of Higher Education's National Economic Reform Plan Panjana Career Advancement Program.
Yeah, so it is a mouthful.
Yes, but it's kind of similar-ish in terms of its goal to ensure that graduates are employed.
Yeah, so, you know, these initiatives are very much welcome and definitely much needed, more so during a pandemic. You know, even before all this happened, youth unemployment was already at worrying levels. In fact, it was much worse among young people than it was among older adults. So I'm glad that there's some initiatives happening along the way. The question is whether we do have more options available, right? You know, the issues with youth unemployment aren't just about the graduates alone. It's not just about the fact about their skills. It's not really it's not just about their marketability. It goes beyond that, right? If it goes to the question of the kinds of jobs available here.
Right.
Sometimes you see so many STEM graduates here. You know, we had that great push in the 2000s and still today where STEM is greatly encouraged, but we just don't have the jobs, and graduates end up having to take up different courses or different kinds of jobs that don't match up to what they study, or they leave to go abroad and pursue a career in STEM.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Kel. I wonder if adding on the number of resources and channels to find jobs actually sort of is overwhelming to graduates, to the point where, you know, it's like, you know, where do I start? Do I start with GREAT, or do I start with this program that the Prime Minister launched, this career advancement program? Do I go to LinkedIn, or do I go to other channels? And I just wonder if perhaps there needs to be some sort of streamlined program to help graduates. Because let's not forget, I think I mentioned just now, 41,000 graduates from last year are still employed, and every year there's tens of thousands of fresh grads.
Oh, unemployed. Yes.
Right, unemployed, right? So the number, there seems to be a backlog to the number of young people who are unemployed. So I just wonder if there needs to be a channel that's streamlined, that's easy for grads to access, so they're not overwhelmed by what's offered in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there needs to be, you mentioned just now how there's a difficulties finding jobs in STEM.
Yeah.
I wonder if there just needs to be different channels for different fields, right, that focus on STEM, and then you have another platform that only focuses on engineering. Because when we hone in into the numbers and figures, a lot of these numbers are separated into those categories, right? Engineering, the medical field, finance and banking. So I'm a bit skeptical. But you know, I just hope that there is some way where these platforms are actually meaningful for graduates, right? And they're not just being put out there and just tossed in this vast ocean of resources that graduates might find difficult to navigate.
Not only difficult to navigate, sometimes it might be repetitive. Sometimes they're like, wait, this exists, but that exists. Why are they more or less trying to do the same thing? And we see that sometimes with government programs and between different agencies and different ministries, right? They repeat themselves, which might lead to redundancies. But beyond all these programs that we provide, you know, one of the things that we mentioned earlier, which was the great service, which is the Graduates Reference Hub for Employment and Training. One of the things it says there is reskilling programs.
Right.
I have a bit of a concern there. Why is the reskilling needed specifically, right? You know, are there issues with maybe certain universities or certain training institutions that might be providing skills or syllabuses or syllabi that are out of date? And that's why this sort of retraining is needed.
But don't you think that makes sense in light of COVID-19 that people need to perhaps diversify their skill sets and move into other fields, right? I think that was a topic that popped up a few weeks ago, that perhaps, you know, someone who's earned a degree in finance may need to shift into another field for now, or you know, depending on what kind of jobs are in demand or just unavailable due to the MCO.
You're right. That's actually a good point. Well, you can let us know what you think. How can we increase graduate employment? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 0187898899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be speaking to Shireen Dato' Abdul Ghani, director and co-founder of Sorga Ventures, as well as former CEO at Talent Corp. Stay tuned for that conversation. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:14 on the Evening Edition. You are with Kelvin and Hezril, and we're talking about graduate unemployment, because the numbers are a bit worrying that by this year, we'll see about 116,000 graduates who are expected to be unemployed. So we're now going to cross over to Shireen Dato' Abdul Ghani, director and co-founder of Sorga Innovation, as well as former CEO at Talent Corp. Shireen, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hello, thank you.
So the Higher Education Ministry said that, you know, over 116,000 grads are expected to be unemployed. Help us make sense of these statistics. Are there certain groups of graduates that might struggle to find employment?
Let's just set up the context. Actually, graduate unemployability is a global issue. And, you know, so Malaysia is no different. We go through this process of graduate, you know, leaving university and then having a time lag of when they actually get employed. So where we need to actually focus our attention is to see how long it takes for graduates to actually secure a job. If it's more than 6 months, if it's almost a year, then there is, an issue there we need to address.
And COVID-19 has definitely hampered employment growth. Without the pandemic, though, would you have forecasted a similar unemployment rate?
It would be more manageable. There would still be an unemployment rate with our graduates, and that's been a problem anyway. And there are many reasons. Sometimes the graduates are not really ready for the job, or they decide to do something else, or decide to wait for the perfect job to happen. So I would say that it's a supply and demand situation. With COVID, definitely the jobs are contracting. And it's not just for graduates. It's also for, you know, different people in, you know, the workforce. So, the COVID will contribute, obviously. And as you know, the employment numbers globally, I would like to put it out there as well, is also contracting due to the economy not progressing because of the pandemic.
Right, and the ministry has also identified the pandemic and the marketability of graduates as two main issues. How far would you agree with these two suggestions?
It's kind of dependent, right? Because if the pandemic continues and it becomes a protracted kind of situation, jobs are not growing because the economy cannot heal. So we need to address the pandemic first, I would think, and, you know, secure a safe and environment for people to get back into the workforce. And then the economy needs to pick up. So it's a problem where the same side of a coin, right? One is actually the growth of jobs and the other really addressing the pandemic. Because as long as it's not safe for people out there to go back to the workforce, the economy is not going to also thrive and jobs are not created.
Now, what are your thoughts on government-led employment initiatives for graduates? Have they been an effective resource? Because we've seen more and more of them come out now.
I think the government is trying to find the right solution. I heard what you said before I came in into the call, where there are now a lot of platforms, government or even private sector sort of led platforms and options. You're right in the sense that it will cause some confusion, but I look at it from the lens of giving a lot of options. So I think it's very fortunate that our graduates have all these options. So they need to focus on, you know, a few of the platforms that offer the job that is suitable to their qualifications, and really find that nice opportunity because we have a lot of options. So I think it's very good in the sense that there are choices out there, and it's a market where we all want to make sure that our workforce graduates and, you know, the entire workforce is gainfully employed. So government initiatives, private sector solutions need to be out there in the market.
Are these programs enough, though? And really, the question that I guess is also really about whether or not the government is focusing on the right problems with these sorts of programs.
I think we've had a lot of programs. Even in the past, the Talent Corp, and while I was there, there were programs there as well. And you're right in the sense that there is an overlap. For government, at least, there must be a coordinated effort. So one agency should be sort of the central ministry or agency that then aggregates these jobs so that then people know they would go to one, government platform that aggregates the jobs from all the other ministries. So there is overlap. I think the spending could be more efficiently allocated. And, you know, the various agencies need to coordinate, and then it becomes a more impactful initiative that is being rolled out and gets the results that we want, as a collective effort rather than different agencies running their own programs.
Right. And speaking of coordination, what are the gaps when it comes to matching businesses and positions to the correct candidates? And what are some potential solutions?
Yeah, so the mismatch of jobs and talent is always there. So some of the solutions that you see out there are technology-driven. The technology enables a more efficient marketplace to operate where, you know, the job and the talent is well matched. But technology needs to also be very cleverly designed. So technology is not just the answer, but the, you know, how it's being designed, how it matches the demand and supply is where there is some gap because, you know, we don't have a mechanism where we map out where are all the demands and then we map out where what are the supply coming through to meet the different goals. So the mismatch also happens, but I think technology makes it efficient. But how you design the solution is where we need to be very clever about it so that then the matching becomes, a good sort of outcome.
And what do you think of internships as a means to bridge that gap between candidates and positions and businesses?
Yeah, internship is great. And internship happens when the students are in university. I would like to see more companies offer apprenticeships. Apprenticeship means while they are in university or even right after they graduate, they already have a position in the organization where you are trained to then take on the role. So it's almost an assured sort of job. And you see that in Germany, in more advanced economies, where they move into more apprenticeship and then, you know, work with the students maybe at their final year to sort of start getting them into the role. So that will close the gap with the mismatch, because you are already creating that job for the talent. But I wouldn't say apprenticeship is, you know, applicable to all types of graduates with different types of qualification. There are some that fit the apprenticeship model. But internship as a top gap measure or a way to expose the students to the work environment is a good way to then engage them for potential jobs once they graduate.
You yourself have helped to develop a platform that focuses on the gig economy. Tell us more about that and the type of competencies that graduates would need to be equipped with.
Yeah, so the platform that I've created with my co-founders is called gigxglobal.com. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we really unpack the job and the skills. So where some of the other platforms may not have been more effective or efficient is because, you know, the data is not rich. So you need to collect the right kind of information, the right kind of skill set, the kind of competency. You do the profiling of the talent, then the matching becomes, more efficient and closer to the demand and the supply. So gigxglobal.com as a platform is designed in that way. So we take pains to actually extract, granular level data so that then the matching, like I said, happens and happens really well. Otherwise, it's very difficult to do the matching. A general sort of, job search for an engineer, for example, then you'll have 100 jobs for engineers. But you want to find a chemical engineer who's graduated and with this kind of skill sets and all that. So that level of data and information is needed for platforms to become effective.
Is a different approach needed when it comes to addressing youth unemployment in rural areas versus urban areas?
Yeah, I like that question. I think for urban areas, because of the connectivity, because we have the access, that makes it obviously much easier. For the rural folks, simply because if you talk about technology and access to internet, we forget that sometimes we just step out of the Klang Valley and there are pockets outside that really the line drops and people have to find different locations to get a line in. So the digital divide is where we need to actually focus on and how we then provide access to, students or graduates or, people who want to have access to these kind of services, a strong connectivity. We still haven't got it in this country. So that is sort of the one of the solutions that we need to really, address.
And to add to those problems, a lot of people have lost their jobs as a result of COVID-19. Are there specific strategies that can be employed to help them navigate the market moving forward?
Yeah. I think, the job loss is real, obviously. We believe that, the numbers are looking quite problematic. But where we feel that the solution is going to sort of help people in between is that if permanent jobs or the conventional jobs are not available, then the gig economy could be a solution. At the very least, you do project work that then builds the portfolio of things that you've done. And when the economy swings back and becomes better and job growth is there, you could actually demonstrate that you've done various projects that will then help you to secure the job when the role is available. So, the time that we have, you can either do the upskilling, reskilling. I heard you mentioned about upskilling just now. And also get onto platforms where they provide jobs for your qualifications rather than the general sort of right-heading type job, because then you don't acquire new skills. So, you know, I would advocate that look for those kind of platforms that offer project work that's related to the kind of qualifications that you have. And if you do an upskilling or reskilling, say if you have a base qualification of an engineer, you upskill and, you know, you get it, you get a project that requires you to analyze data. So do that kind of learning to upskill yourself so that then you get acquire a new skill.
Right. And we have just about a minute left. Shireen, mm-hmm. What's your outlook on youth unemployment in the short term?
The outlook of youth unemployment is not going to be positive. We have to be realistic about it. But if you look at, you know, the opportunities, I would encourage the young talent to look for different opportunities. Don't be too picky, too choosy about it. Short projects that will get you going, even though it doesn't pay as well, we just need to be engaged in work and, you know, earn something in between and, you know, upskill so that then when, like I said, the economy opens up or the job grows, then, you know, they are at a better position to secure those jobs.
Shireen, thank you so much for those insights.
Thank you.
That was Shireen Dato' Abdul Ghani, director and co-founder of Sorga Innovation, as well as former CEO at Talent Corp. We now have the 7:30 news coming up. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.